At Woodside Bible Church, we gather each week to pursue God by studying His Word together. Confession is a necessary habit to have in our walk with Christ. It's something that can be uncomfortable or bring up feelings of guilt and shame. Even though we may be hesitant to confess our sins, He reminds us in His Word how vital confession is to our relationship with Him. In Psalm 51, David comes in full surrender, bringing his sin, shame, and guilt to God, asking for a renewed spirit and a cleansed heart. Join us in a new series titled Confessions, Erasing Shame and Experiencing Renewal, where we'll learn why practicing confession is so important.
Well, it is good to see you here today, and I want to begin this morning's sermon with a confession. Now, you know that the series is titled Confession, so I thought it'd be fair for me to begin with a confession of my own. Here is the confession. I am a certified non-handyman. Not good with hammer and nails. I do not own a sawzall. As much as I would like to stand before you and portray this air of, oh yeah, I can do basic carpentry, yeah, I can't. I'm lousy. And yet, what is also true, and what many of you may not know, is that that did not stop me from buying a fixer-upper home when I was in my 20s and giving it a go. Yeah, there's some wisdom there, isn't there? How about that? It's true, before Bonnie and I got married, I bought a little starter home on the other side of the state, and I tore into the thing, tore it down to studs, gutted the place, rewired it, replaced all the insulation, had new drywall in, new kitchen cabinets. Now, mind you, I didn't do all that myself, but it did happen. I worked with my dad, I worked with some friends on this project, and they would come over week after week. And eventually, weeks turned into months. But ultimately, this little house was restored from the inside out. Now, I begin today's message with that story because we all like a good restoration story, don't we? Every single one of us likes a restoration story, whether we are guys and you're pretty stoked that I brought up a hammer and a sawzall in the first 2 minutes of the sermon, or if you are the ladies, because Chip and Joanna Gaines have kind of made a cottage industry out of the whole restoration thing, haven't they? They got a TV show, they got magazines. Man, if you go into Target, they've even taken a section of Target over because everybody loves us some restoration. Am I right? There's four people who agree with me. Well, today we are going to be looking at God's Word, and we're going to be digging into a story of restoration. And it's a story that I believe will encourage you today. Because what we're going to see is we're going to see a man who understands the depth of his sin, but also his need for that kind of restoration. The guy's name is King David, and we've been reading through Psalm 51, and we are going to do that once again today. But first, let's pray together. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, You have invited us here today. On a cold, snowy winter day, God, You have invited us here to gather as Your people to bring You an offering of praise. You have invited us here today, God, to meet with Your people, to encourage, to support, to build one another up as we see each other singing and praising. And God, we thank You for the opportunity we have as Your people to gather. But God, as we gather, we also confess to You that we are a needy people. We are a people who do not have it all together. In fact, we struggle and we stumble and sometimes we fall. And God, that's why we need You to restore us. That's why we need you to change us from the inside out, God. And so we pray that over the course of the next few moments that you might do that heart work in each of us. As we open your word, God, we acknowledge that your word is truth and has exactly what we need today for you to do your work in us. So God, give us eyes to see clearly your truth. We ask for ears to hear this truth clearly, and that you might find our hearts humble before you, that you might restore us this morning. And we pray this, God, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, church, this morning we continue our Confessions sermon series. And what we are doing is we are considering the spiritual discipline that guides believers into this humble-hearted posture of confessing our sin to a holy God. Here in week 4, we're going to see that David's thinking has moved, it's shifted, it's changed a bit. Where we began in Psalm 51, we saw David with a genuine heart of repentance. And in that heart of repentance, he comes to God seeking God's mercy. And then last week, we found that the significance of taking responsibility for our sin. And now we move to a point where we're seeking God to bring restoration to our souls. Let's grab our Bibles and let's turn together once again to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is our text. You're going to find that on page 474 in our ESV Bibles. So I invite you to read along with me. If you do not have a Bible, we would love to give you one. We have some in the corner of our worship center or right out in our lobby. We'd love to make sure that you have a Bible today. We're going to pick it up, David's heart at verse 7. He writes, "Purge me with hyssop. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. And then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering, for the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." You see, David understands the magnitude of his sin. That's why he begins writing in Psalm 51 with a heart of repentance. He understands what his sin deserves, and that's why he pleads with God that God would give him mercy. And today, we see that David understands what he needs most for his relationship with the Almighty to be restored. That's what he needs most. So let's look and see what David is pursuing. Let's drill down a little bit more deeply, beginning with verse 7. He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice." He says, "Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities." David desires to be clean. He no longer wants to carry around the stain of his sin. And what he does is he uses some very important biblical imagery in making this request before God. Here's the imagery. Hyssop. Now, hyssop is not something that typically you and I will go to and go into our cleaning closet and grab a little hyssop if we're going to clean the house. It's just not something we do. But in biblical times, in that part of the world, hyssop did have significant meaning when it came to cleansing. What would happen is you would go to the crevice of a stone wall, and hyssop was that brush-like plant that you would pull out. And it had those brush-like qualities. Now, as you're sitting here and I'm reading about hyssop, you might be thinking, well, wait a second, I believe I've heard that before. I think I know that term, that phrase comes from somewhere. Well, that little plant is familiar to us, because that's what was used to paint a strip of blood above the door when it came time for the Passover. So we read about hyssop in Exodus. And David knows full well the significance of that plant. He understands the significance of hyssop. That's why hyssop is used by David, because he desires to be cleansed. He desires to have his sin blotted out. It's a beautiful picture, really. Church, here's a reality for you and me. It is the same heart posture that you and I need before our God when we come to Him in confession. When you and I enter that time with our Heavenly Father, and we're going to come to Him, and we do so because it is only on the basis of the shed blood of Christ that we can access our Heavenly Father. It is only because of the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ that you and I find cleansing for our souls, cleansing for the blotting out of our sin. And so the picture that we see with hyssop painted above the door is one that David pulls on to speak to the cleansing and the blotting out of our sin. Now let's continue on in verse 10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. David's prayer continues with a request for spiritual cleansing and for the restoration of his soul. It's a plea that David brings to the only one who can bring that kind of change. He brings it to Almighty God. He longs to have this right standing, this right relationship with his Heavenly Father. He desires to once again experience the closeness that he knew before. He longs, David yearns to be restored. And this should give sinners like you and me some guidance. When we read this passage of the Old Testament, when we read the Psalms, this should give us some guidance on what it is that we can do when our sin separates us from the closeness that we have with God. We can ask God for restoration. You and I, as believers, we can come to God humbly seeking to be restored. You see, whatever the brokenness is in our life, whatever the cause of that strained relationship that you have between you and your Heavenly Father, whatever it is not beyond reaching out and connecting with God afresh through repentance and through His restorative work. You see, when we come to God humbly, and humbly seek this kind of renewal, when we come like David, recognizing our need for the cleansing, forgiving work of Christ, that's when God does his restorative work in your soul and in mine. Listen once again to what David desires. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. He begins with joy. I love that. Because believers can experience this deep, abiding, fulfilling joy when we are in close fellowship, when we have that close relationship with our God. And that is what David longs to have. The joy that he once experienced with God before sin crushed him and wiped him out. He desires to have that renewed joy once again. The joy that he knew upon his salvation. And friends, that's what you and I receive. We receive it afresh when we come to God humbly, seeking his restoration. So there's joy. And there's also something else we receive when we have this close communion with God again. He upholds us. David highlights that because he wants us to know that in God we are kept strong. We are protected. He is the one that sustains you and me on the journey. But let's get real. Let's be honest with each other. This does not happen when we simply desire to do something religious occasionally. And it certainly didn't happen because you decided to get up on a wintry morning and, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to Woodside White Lake and I'm going to go to one of those services. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here. But I want you to know that what we're talking about today is far deeper. It is far more significant, far more life-altering than just going through some religious hoop. What we are talking about are two kinds of restoration that every single person here needs to experience from God. The first is salvation. The second is sanctification. Now, I don't want you to just kind of brush aside and say, well, Pastor, those are some kind of religious terms. I don't want to really dig into those terms all that much. I just want you to talk. Well, here's the thing. The first takes place when we come to God, just like David did, knowing that we are sinful and that we need to be cleansed. So what happens is we come to God, we acknowledge our sin before him, we repent of that sin, we turn away from it, and we place our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. You see, because it is only in Christ and his sacrificial death upon the cross that you and I are washed clean, that we are made new from the inside out. That is the restorative experience known as salvation. Now, maybe you're here today, and that is the exact kind of restoration God desires in your heart. Perhaps today is when you acknowledge your sin, you repent of it, and you place your faith solely in the person and the work. Maybe that is what God is calling you to today. But if you'd say, Pastor, I know that I've experienced that salvation. God has restored me in him, in Christ. I am a believer. I know that. But I am walking the journey of faith, and my life is filled with ups and with downs. I live and I walk in a fallen and broken world. And so sometimes I have those experiences where I have an incredibly good day. I feel very close to the Lord Jesus. And then you'd say, Pastor, I also have those days where I struggle to temptation is right there, and I really struggle to walk in the ways of God. That is what it means to live in a broken world, and our closeness with God gets hampered. Our fellowship with our Father gets hampered by our sin. And that's when, just like David, we long to experience afresh the joy of our salvation. And so that's when we come to God and we repent and we say, God, renew a right spirit within me. Church, that is the process of sanctification. I love the way author Dane Ortlund summarizes the heart of God. For those of us who seek that restored relationship with our Heavenly Father, here's what he writes. He says, in Jesus Christ, we are given a friend who will always enjoy rather than refuse our presence. You see, it's in his presence that God brings restoration, where he molds us and shapes us into the image of Jesus. Now, let's continue on in our text. Pick it up at verse 13. David writes, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners, they will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering, but the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do you guys catch the transition that has taken place in David? He begins Psalm 51 with that repentant posture, seeking God's mercy. At the beginning of what we looked at today, we see his desire to be restored. And now he moves to another place where he is focusing on his own response. And make no mistake, David's going to run with it. Okay? He's going to run with it. Listen to the passion that we see in verse 13. He says, then I will teach transgressors your ways. And sinners, well, they will return to you. The guy is fired up. He's ready to go. He basically tells God, look, I'm not just going to sit here and receive your goodness. I'm going to go tell others about you. I'm going to teach others how to walk in your ways. And many will come to faith. You know, what's cool about this story is when we read this story, this is one of those stories that we can actually connect with. Oftentimes when you read a portion of Scripture, you'd say, well, I don't really identify with that. This part right here, all of us can identify with. For many of us who maybe came to faith a little bit later in our lives, maybe late teens or as an adult, our response to being restored by God is like that of David. Our response is one where I've got to tell everybody. I begin with my family. I'm close to them. They've got to know. They've got to know about what Jesus has done in my life. And then I go from my family to my friends. I go from my friends to my coworkers, from my coworkers to my classmates, to my neighbors, to anyone who will listen. Anyone who will listen about the restorative work of the gospel in our lives. You see, what that is the joy of our salvation. That is what David is crying out for. That's what he is experiencing. And in that joy, he wants to tell everybody. But his response doesn't stop there. He also wants to worship God rightly. And here's what he does. He expresses it in two ways for you and I to grab a hold of. In verse 15, he says, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." He desires to worship God, to praise God with his mouth. And then as you look down to verses 16 and 17, something else happens. He says, "For you will not delight in sacrifice," or "I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." David wants to worship God with a genuine heart of humility, with a heart that is submitted and surrendered fully to God. Now, as your pastor, I want you to know this is my hope for you too. This is my hope for you. I hope that when you reflect upon what God has done to cleanse you, what he has done to forgive you, what he has done to redeem you, what he has done to restore you, that it stirs something deep within your soul, and it makes your mouth praise your God, and it brings your heart before him in a humble, humble posture. And that what those combined do, they bring us to a point where we respond in worship. All who have been restored by God in Christ are called to respond to our God in worship. You see, this is the only right response for sinful creatures to worship our holy Creator. But I want to be very clear about something. Oftentimes when you read something in Scripture, you can find one verse that will say something, and I don't want you to be confused to think that what I'm telling you today is built upon just an idea that is expressed in one location in the Word of God. It's not. It's all over. The idea that God's people should respond to him in worship is throughout the Scripture. Certainly we see it in the life of David as he regularly calls God's people to worship. Listen to Psalm 29. He says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." Then in Psalm 100, he says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." That's just David. Let's go and look at a couple other things. The worship of God is expressed throughout the Word of God. How about in John's Gospel, chapter 4? "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people," what? "To worship him." Then Paul writes in Romans 12, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is spiritual worship." It's about worship. And then once again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." You see, this is the right response for the restored, to worship the restorer. That is the right response for men, women, and children who have been restored, to bring our worship to the restorer. You know, each week, Jacob and I get together and we meet. We meet to discuss, we meet to plan, we meet to pray about our Sunday gathering. Now, I know some of you might think that that's kind of weird considering we like only work one day a week. But we do. We actually get together and talk about these things, because at the heart of our discussion each week is a deep desire to proclaim the gospel in song and to do it in prayer. It is our deep desire to do it faithfully through our reading and through the proclamation of God's word in our preaching. And so we invest time each and every week emphasizing this, considering it, wrestling with it, praying about it, because both of us care deeply about your heart of worship. Now, is it our desire to put together a service that has a good flow? Of course it is. Is it our desire that as we plan and prepare with our worship team, that we do things with a measure of excellence? Of course. Is it our hope that what we do on a Sunday morning will draw you more deeply into the heart of God and into worship? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, White Lake family, as we close this morning, I hope that when you think of coming to worship here at Woodside, it's not a task. I hope that when you got up this morning and you looked out and you saw the weather and you thought, oh, it's going to be a hassle. I hope that when you are thinking of coming here to worship, it is far more than just some religious activity. My hope is that you come to celebrate the restoration that God has done in your life. And that your heart restoration leads straight to our God in worship. Amen.
Thank you for joining us as we study God's Word together. We would love to hear how God is moving in your heart and get you connected into the Woodside Bible Church family. Head to woodsidebible.org/connect to introduce yourself today.